We have Pastor Robert Curry, if you're wanting to hear him, and everybody wants to hear him. He's been rescheduled for whatever. He had a conflict or some short notice. Sorry about that, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize. We do have Pastor Wright. He's standing by. We're going to get to him in just a second. I want to finish. I still have not finished with what I think is the most important story of the day, micro of the day. You know, Chance put a bigger question for the on the horizon, or really right now, the big question, probably the bigger question, is what is going to happen to the millions of people who have taken the shot? What is the ramifications of this? And just like the shot to begin with, we don't know. I don't think it's good. I don't think Chance does either. But for right now, the biggest story of the day, let's go over it again. This is Dr. Byram Brittle, I don't know how. They made a mistake. They thought the spike protein was a great target antigen, only to discover it is a toxin. It is a toxin. What does that mean? A target antigen. That this was going to be a target to create an immune response in your body. Then they would be okay. No, this is an actual toxin, and that can travel to many organs of the body, causing severe damage, including the brain. Worse, the spike protein is generated by mRNA vaccines. It's not a vaccine. It's an experimental gene therapy. They don't stay in the shoulder muscle, but spread to the brain, heart, ovaries, etc. This is from the article now. I'm not quoting the doctor. They also know that the spike protein is what causes the damage with COVID. The damage with COVID is the spike protein. So their idea was, let's put the spike protein into your body and make your body be genetically engineered to now fight it. They knew that the spike protein was the harmful thing, was the dangerous thing about this virus. I mean, think about this logic. I mean, now even looking back on it, it's insane. It's insane. This is where the danger is. This is what causes all the problems. So let's put that in your body now. This is different from any other virus that we've seen or whatever this is. From the video below, there's a video link to it. Here's the quote by Dr. Brittle. Spike protein on its own is the cause of the vascular neurodegenerative problems, not the virus. The spike protein. In the original theory, it stays in the deltoid, goes to the local draining lymph node, activates the immune system. Talking about the quote unquote experimental vaccine. That was the original theory. Continuing on with his quote. But a new biodistribution study from Japan tracked the vax and spike protein. So a study in Japan, the idea, let me break this down for you. The idea was they're going to shoot this experimental vaccine in your arm. It's going to stay in the deltoid muscle. The spike protein is not going to go throughout your body. It's going to then go to your lymph system and drain throughout, and your body's going to deal with it, and it's going to create an immune response. So Japan said, let's see if that's true. Now, this is what happens when you rush to judgment and you put something on an emergency use authorization. This is what happens. So let's see what does happen, what really happens with the spike protein. Continuing the quote. But a new biodistribution study from Japan tracked the vax and spike proteins. It gets into the blood within days of vax, accumulates in the spleen, brain, bone marrow, liver, adrenal glands with high concentration. You will never guess where, ladies and gentlemen. This will shudder you when I tell you the next organ. In the ovaries. Spike protein is a pathogenic toxin that causes damage if in circulation. Binds to platelets, epithelial cells of blood vessels, clotting, bleeding, heart problems, brain blood clotting. That's why you've seen all the, you know, the problems with, blood clotting, AstraZeneca in Europe and, Johnson & Johnson in America. Conclusion is, this is all quote from the doctor, quote, we made a big mistake and didn't realize it till now. We thought the spike protein was a great target antigen, but never knew the spike protein itself was a pathogenic toxic protein. By vaccinating people, we are inadvertently inoculating them with a toxin. Whew. Dear God. If you want to warn anybody about, if you want to warn anybody that still hasn't taken it or seen the article, video positive proof spike protein is a toxic disaster. It's on BitChute. Whistleblower Dr. Byram Brittle. Spike proteins may be a huge concern. So go to BitChute. Whistleblower Dr. Byram Brittle. Spike proteins may be a huge concern. You can see the interview. It's only about 9 minutes long, and you can check that out. everything that we've said pretty much means being proven true. The virus did come through the Wuhan lab. It was engineered. China was manipulating it, to try to make it look like a wet market. It came to America. Spike protein was the pathogen, was the disaster. The experimental vaccines are a nightmare, are the great unknown. You got to be out of your mind to do this. But yet here we are. Our next guest is one of my favorite people on the world, not just guests, but one of my favorite people. I don't talk to him enough. We both are very busy. I've been, of course, very, you know, acclimating and moving and all that across country and what have you, whatever. He is the lead pastor at Covenant Love Christian Center, Covenant Love Foundation. MyCLCC.com is his website. He is an American. He is America's pastor. And if you've heard him preach, you can understand that. Pastor Nicholas Wright is here today. Pastor, welcome back to the Power Hour.
My brother, how you doing? Thanks for the welcome. Good to be with you.
Very good to be with you. I don't talk to you near enough, my friend. The first question I'm going to ask you that's been on my mind, there are a lot of preachers who have been out there, churches, whatever, who have led their sheep to the slaughter here with getting this experimental vaccine. And now the evidence and the proof is coming out that this is, I mean, it's the mounting evidence is legion here, that this is a disaster. This was one of the dumbest possible things that we could have done. What ramifications do you see? Let's start there. For any of these pastors that have brought their sheep now to the brink of possible physical disaster.
Well, I mean, I can't be their judge per se, but, you know, some of them, I think they do it out of what they think is right. And I think they're being a part of trying to protect everyone else. And, of course, that is according to a lack of knowledge. And, you know, then the others, I mean, with as far as God is concerned, he's the one that's going to have to be their judge, and especially with the ones that did have some kind of an idea about what this thing could do. And I believe a lot of them think that they're helping. Not all of them. There's some of them that knew. But, you know, I'm not the judge for that. But I will tell you this, that as far as we're concerned, and one of the things that I attempt to do is to show people, first of all, what the scriptures say. And in this instance, the Bible tells us that our bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, whom we have of God, and we're not our own. And so we have to glorify God in our bodies because they belong to God. And if there's any question about something and the good or the harm that it's going to do to our bodies, and especially if it's going to do harm, then, you know, people have to make a decision based on what the scriptures say. That body, even though you're the steward over it, it's not yours. And if you're going to do something to it that is going to bring harm and destruction to it, you're going to have to deal with God because you made a choice that was out of line with his will for your life.
Well, I'm glad you brought that up. So let's talk about what you told your church. I guess that's what you told your church. How did they react? I mean, did you have an open discussion about this quote-unquote vaccine? You know, how did that go?
We have open discussions about everything going on in America. Vaccines.
Well, that's why you're America's
racial
pastor.
Issues.
That's why you're America's pastor, but go ahead.
Yeah, when we talk about all these things, and there are two things that, to me, Daniel, I believe will be helpful. I mean, we talk about perspectives, but there's a time when we have to look at certain things that are realities, and they're no longer the opinions of men. And one thing that we always have to adhere to is what the scriptures have to say about the most important things. Secondly, we have to adhere to what our republic says about the most important thing. And if we can ever find that place of agreement in the church and on America, just about all of our problems will go away.
Well, geez, that was a powerful statement. That was a powerful sentence you just said. Go back to the beginning. Kind of say that sentence again and break that down for us.
Yeah, I mean, really, if we think about the fact that the Word of God is reality, well, let's get away from the opinions of men and, you know, perspectives, as we would call them. And everybody has a right to this perspective. But we've got to elevate the perspective, so to speak, and I put that in quotation marks, of two primary things. Number one is the way God looks at stuff. And if we look at the way that he looks at things where the major things about life are concerned, if we do that, and then if we look as a nation at the major things that have to do with America, our republic, and our freedom, if we can all humble ourselves to do that, most of our problems will just go away.
Why don't they connect? You know, there's a scripture, where the Spirit of God, there is liberty. Why don't they connect liberty, the Spirit of God, you know, the beginning of our country? Why is this not important to them, you know, on a much more bigger scale? Why are you so rare, is what I'm trying to say.
I think the challenge is because there's been, and this is, when I say this, I'm saying it the way that most people view things. They would have the thought that there is a difference between what we would call politics and what would be called religion. For me, I happen to look at the congruencies of both and see how that they're intertwined and intermingled. Because when you talk about freedom and liberty, you're talking about something, first of all, that comes from the scriptures. Jesus is the one who told us that when the Son makes you free, you're free indeed. And it, all through the New Testament, this thing about liberty, it's a big issue. Liberty and freedom is a big, big issue. And if Jesus said, if the Son makes you free, then you're free indeed. You quoted a scripture out of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, that where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's liberty. Excuse me, we go from one degree of glory to the next. But where the Spirit of God is, there is liberty, there's freedom. And so when we talk about liberty and freedom, it's something that comes initially from God. Man was made to be free. Man was not made to be dominated by another man or another woman. We were not made to dominate each other. We were supposed to be free and to have dominion over our own domain and then dominion over the creation of God. And so if that principle is understood, then we realize that when other men come along and try to dominate us, that has nothing to do with what God desired. Same thing when we look at America and we see that the way that this nation was founded and meant to be, then we realize that things were constructed so that we could have our freedom. I mean, you look at that second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, like, wow, man, it makes things crystal clear when you see that these guys said, you know, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, and that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. All right, so to me, those are what we call in our church, those are absolutes. And when you find absolutes, it's like, okay, the discussion is over. What we have to do is be willing to humble ourselves to the absolutes. And that's when men have problems, because either they have a lack of knowledge of the absolutes, or we want to struggle to be so different than other people and have our own opinion, which actually ends up being the detriment of those who hear us.
What, you know, you sat there and just quoted, I think, the most important political sentence we have seen, without question, in my mind, since the Mosaic Law. That's probably the most important sentence, although the Ten Commandments is more than one sentence. That is the most important political sentence to me since the Ten Commandments, to me.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe I'm wrong. I don't know. You memorized it. You memorized a lot of scripture. You can quote more scriptures than just about anybody I know. And I know you fill your mind with these. And What is your opinion of that sentence from the Declaration of Independence? I mean, how would you? I don't know what I'm asking. How would you rate it? How do you venerate it? Where do you place it on your level of importance? You're a preacher, and you're America's preacher. Where do you place that sentence in importance?
It's primary. It can't be anything but primary. And here's why: because there's so many things that hinge on it. There are so many things that are hanging off of that, that if that is not known and understood by American people, then you're never going to figure out what's been going on our land since, you know, almost right after these words were spoken. I mean, forces were at work to try to make sure that people on this land never knew and never understood that paragraph, that second paragraph. So it's primary. If I understand, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, Pastor. Go ahead.
Okay. If I understand that this is a self-evident truth that all men are created equal, and if I understand that this is an absolute truth that we all have been endowed by our Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among those, and it doesn't even name all of them, it says among those, or life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. If I grasp that, and then I picture it against what's going on this land and in the world right now, it should be obvious for me to be able to see and understand that there's some other force that's at work to try to keep this from happening in the lives of men and women, and that it's being exercised primarily through de facto government.
Mm. Preach. Go ahead, preach, brother, preach.
I mean, they said it's self-evident. And I believe that on the inside of every man and woman, every boy and girl, every child alive, that there's something innate in them that speaks to that. Because, you know, one of the things that I've found out in life is that nobody wants anybody else to tell them what to do. I mean, it's just on the inside. That's just the way we are. Now, there are times that we have to, and I use this word, submit. When I say it, I don't mean being put underneath the bondage of someone else. But if someone else knows more than I know and they have an understanding of truth and I don't, when they speak that into my life, then I'm going to have to get in line with that. And that's what I mean by submission. I don't mean being lorded over. But if someone has truth that they share with me and I don't have it, haven't acknowledged it, and then it hits my ears, hits my mind, hits my heart, and I realize what they're saying is right, then I need to submit to that and get on the same page with it because it is absolute truth.
One of the most... See, the more I do this and the more I have guests like you on and, you know, just look at this a lot, you know, your mind begins to click on things. And if you study something, I don't care what you are, if you study something enough hours, you look at it enough hours, you become an expert at it. Things start to change and you start to look at it differently. Mm-hmm. And one of the most terrifying, exactly what you said, primary, foundational. And why do I talk about the Declaration of Independence ad nauseum? Because there almost is nothing else. It's all encapsulated. Everything that you're a Christian, you're this, almost everything that you can hope for, dream for, wish for, want for, that God wants for you, everything, almost all of it is encapsulated in that in that sentence. I mean, for real. And one of the most terrifying, so if that's true, and this is the American ideal, then the foundational destruction and the idea of like social justice, that we're all equal, that we have to be equal. Well, I want to clarify something I think is really important that doesn't get enough attention. It says, and I've read the founders, I've read many of their writings, I've read many, C. Bradley Thompson wrote an amazing book about the American Revolutionary Mind. We've interviewed him. Amazing, if you ever want to check that out. So I feel very confident in what I'm about to say. When it says in that sentence, we hold these truths to be self-evident, all men are created equal. when it says all men are created equal, it does not mean what you normally, traditionally, and what they've now perverted to think that to make you think that it means. That, oh, that means all men must be equal, must have everything equal. No, nothing could be further from the truth. They're created equal, and you said it at the beginning, they're created equal in their dominion. And this is, you want to talk about how the depth of Thomas Jefferson and John Adams? I mean, them talking about this, the depth of philosophical extent and of scriptural extent and just universal mind that they went to? They believed that they were created equal in their dominion from God. And you just said, in your body, your temple, what is your dominion? You're created equal in your dominion. What is each of our dominions? Is our body. And like you said, then the earth and then what have you. You are created equal in your dominion. Not that you are equal. You are created equal in your dominion. And I'll go further. I'll go further for what they meant and what they said that gets overlooked. This idea of pursuit of happiness, many people say, and rightly so, oh, that means personal property, private property. To a great extent, that's true, but it is more. They looked at the existence of mankind, and just like Pastor Wright said, they saw this innate need, this innate compulsion that they seek truth, that they better their life, that they're able to build something for their life. So private, it wasn't just, well, they can own property. So what does that mean if they can own property? That means the talents and the endowment that was given to them by God, they must be unfettered to be able to use them as long as they're respecting the rights of others. They must be unfettered to use them to gain personal property to fulfill their mission. And what is their mission? To pursue happiness. It's not that happiness is guaranteed to you. It's just like we came down here. You know, God put us here. He didn't make us happy. He gave us a pathway to choose happiness. And so what they saw coming from a little bit of a secular, certainly religious, is that pursuit of happiness is the irrevocable decree of mankind. And we'll get to more of this on the other side. How deep that sentence really is and what our founders really thought when they went into this. It is stunning. And anybody who insults them is a damn fool. You want my opinion? Stay tuned, ladies and gentlemen. More of Pastor Wright on the other side.
As you all know, everything begins with an idea. Ideas have helped shape the very world we live in. ThePowerMall.com began as an idea, allowing entrepreneurs and small business owners like yourself the opportunity to not only survive, but thrive in an era where corporations dominate. ThePowerMall.com is a small family-owned business who has partnered with companies you've come to rely on and trust over the years, like Strauss Heart Drops, North American Urban Spice, Miracle 2 Soaps, Vitamir, New Mana Food Storage, to name just a few. Fight back against large corporations when you buy from thepowermall.com. Need to speak to a real person? Call Jay at thepowermall.com and receive superior customer service. Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Support small businesses and buy from the good guys at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
The Power Hour has been in existence since the turn of the 21st century. It is more critical than ever for you to sign up for our free newsletter and our breaking news. Simply text the word Power Hour to 22828 on your mobile phone or sign up when you visit thepowerhour.com. Our website again is thepowerhour.com or text Power Hour to 22828. Together, our legacy will live on for centuries.
You know what my mission was when I started this, and I was so excited. I still am excited after 21 years. I said, anybody who's got mouth must use Vitamir toothpaste and mouthwash if they want to stay healthy. I'm going to make sure that it is available to anywhere I can put the product.
You got a lot of zinc in these products.
Zinc inhibits plaque growth. Zinc is also known to have an antibacterial properties. Also, zinc works to eliminate bad breath by destroying volatile sulfur compounds. compounds. Such an incredible product. And wow. I'm so proud to say my wife did that and saved my life, saved my mouth. And she is the mother of all the people who are using a Biotomer toothpaste and mouthwash in the world.
Call 1-877-817-9829 right now. That number again is 1-877-817-9829. Buy from the good guys at theparamol.com. That's theparamol.com.
Boost your immune system naturally this year with olive oregano, a potent germ killer. This is the true wild oregano oil P73, a blend of edible spices of wild oregano grown on natural mineral-rich soils. Research published in the International Journal of Food Microbiology found that olive oregano is an excellent germicide capable of killing a wide range of fungi and bacteria. Get it today by visiting thepowermall.com or calling 877-817-9829.
Hi, this is Jay at the Power Mall. I thought I would discuss an item that's very valuable to my personal health and well-being. That product is called Curcumin X4000. Its potent antioxidant properties have been shown to decrease swelling and allow us to enjoy our golden years. Take control over your health today, guys. Order Curcumin by calling 877-817-9829 or order at thepowermall.com. That's thepowermall.com.
With Pastor Wright, we're going to have a special guest here in a second. We have a special caller. So glad he called. Let me finish the thought that I was saying, Pastor. The second paragraph, the first sentence of the Declaration of Independence, I think without question is the most important political sentence we've seen in the world since at least the Ten Commandments is not one sentence. But if you're talking about one sentence, I don't know, maybe it is the most important one sentence we've ever seen politically. And its ramifications are eternal and are spiritual, religious, all the above, and go to the existence of man. When they were writing this, Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, both on the committee to write, Livingston, Sherman, Franklin, Adams, and Jefferson were the committee posed to write the Declaration of Independence. Some of the things that went into this thinking, this idea of pursuit of happiness, they believe that for it's obvious that a dominion, a something special was placed in mankind that separates him from beasts. So if you, this is all philosophical. Philosophically, they believed in, Isaac Newton. Then you think, well, Isaac Newton, what does that have to do with anything? Extremely important. Why? Isaac Newton thought that if I can observe the world, then I can do experiments and by observation, I can detect truth. So with Isaac Newton, of course, the apple, gravity, what have you, he did not invent gravity. He discovered gravity. He uncovered truth. They adored Isaac Newton. They adored Locke. They adored William Shakespeare. This idea that man is here, been placed here by its creator, it's self-evident that he's been placed here. This idea of evolution and whatever is ridiculous. It's insane. There is no evidence of macroevolution, zero. And our founders think it's self-evident. This is self-evident when you think about it. Tornado in a Junkyard, written by Perloff. Unbelievable book. If you believe that you can put a tornado in a junkyard and at the end of it comes down a perfectly made brand new car, if you believe that, then you believe in evolution. Okay? Macroevolution. It's ridiculous. Anyway. So they theorized all this. They observed all this. They said, we were going to pursue truth. And so mankind is here. He's given certain faculties, certain rights, certain unalienable or certain endowments. Those endowments must be unalienable, meaning nothing can be attached to them or limit them. They have to be unfettered. Why? Why? This is so huge. Why must they be unfettered? Because, as they theorized or as they discovered, that the Creator decreed it so that the individual man, mankind, individual man, could then pursue his purpose and use his talents to continue creation that the Creator began with mankind, so that they could continue creation. They could build a house. They could plant crops. They could feed themselves. They could do it. There was no government at the beginning. There is no government. Government doesn't do anything. It derives power from the people. It derives power from the creation. Government is a parasite. Government didn't feed Adam and Eve. You know, we're talking about the metaphor there, right? Government didn't feed them. The Garden of Eden, and after they got out of the Garden of Eden, by the sweat of their brow, they planted crops. The endowment that they were given had to be unfettered, or else creation would die. Not only that, they believed that man's inherent purpose is to find truth and to pursue the greatest cause of happiness. This is all in their writings, ladies and gentlemen. This is what I'm telling you, 1,000% is what they believed. 1,000,000% is what they believed and what they wrote in this document. That they believed that it was a self-evident truth that the God of all creation had endowed each of us with this innate compulsion to pursue truth, to then pursue our course of happiness, and that path can only be chosen by each individual. It's stunning in its scope, ladies and gentlemen. This is stunning stuff. Stunning. And the government's only purpose, you know, you talk about these competing interests that now that we have. Government has an interest and people have an interest. The government's only purpose is to make sure that this unfettered pursuit of truth and pursuit of happiness is allowed to occur, and so that for the most good, so that everybody can have that same pursuit. That is all government's purpose is. This is stunning. If you don't think this is religious, if you don't think this is scriptural, I don't know what is. This is America. Your comment before we go to our special guest, Pastor.
Yeah, that's why it's, to me, it's so important that the pastors, ministers, it doesn't matter what the ministry gift is, apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, there's got to be a way that we men and women who are these ministry gifts have to tie these things together on the kind of nation that we live in. It has to be. They're congruent, not even just parallel, they're congruent.
Wow, powerful. Well, we have a caller, a special guest. It's been a while since he's been on. Why don't you go ahead and introduce who's on the line here? Who do we got? Just go ahead and introduce yourself.
It's another great day in America.
Yes,
and
it is.
It's a double great day in America when Pastor Wright's on.
Absolutely. Yay. Well, what brings you to this fine day here to the Power Hour? What's on your mind? What do you got
to
add here?
I just wanted to say about that spike protein. I heard the best analysis of it a couple weeks ago, and I just wanted to share it with everybody. The bloodstream has to be very, very smooth. No hindrance, no tight spots, no nothing. And the way that the doctor explained it, he said a spike protein is like a little piece of sandpaper. And it just rubs against it,
like
gets
friction.
Caught on things, builds up, and pretty soon it builds up so much on a turn or an artery or whatever it is like that. The blood can't get through, and then you have a heart attack or a stroke or something like that. So it's just like, they knew exactly what they were doing when they put that spike protein in it. They knew that for years, the doctor said, so. I just wanted to share that with you.
What how big a story is it that coming out? These a lot of big time virologists are coming out. Hey, we made a mistake. Hey, this is bad news. How big a story is this?
Oh, it's huge. I mean, absolutely huge. I mean, what are people going to do after they got the shot? Oh my gosh, people's heads are going to explode. If man,
I would not like to be in their position. You know, I've told the story online or on air. I've told the story, your brother-in-law, my other uncle, he about went blind in church after taking the shot. Correct?
He don't look good. I don't want to say that. I don't want to say that too loud.
Don't say it too loud. But he was at church, and all of a sudden he couldn't hardly see. Correct?
Yes.
I mean, back me up.
Correct.
Okay.
No, that's double. That's fact.
My wife's uncle, he went. Now my uncle Steve that you're talking about. He went, he didn't go dark blind, but he like went legally blind, I guess you would say. All of a sudden he couldn't see good, but it wasn't dark blind. My wife's
Correct.
Uncle went dark blind. Dark.
Oh wow.
Lights out blind. And then it came back after a few days and his one eye still in and out, whatever. Another uncle, my wife's uncle, he all of a sudden had instantaneous neuropathy. Not have diabetes and have to go to the hospital because his leg hurt so bad. All of a sudden, out of the blue, good neuropathy,
just
blood
ask Eric Clapton.
Yeah, Eric Clapton, exact same thing. Now
his feet and his hands went numb. He couldn't use them for a couple weeks. That's what the word is. He thought he was never going to play guitar again in his life.
Another report: my sister-in-law said one of their friends went blind also. So this
wow.
is, you know, this is coming out in everything we've been telling you, warning you about, ladies and gentlemen. How important is this broadcast? How important is it? Well, maybe it saved your sight. Maybe it saved your life. I don't know. I'm not trying to be over dramatic, but we have Pastor Wright here. Do you have a question for Pastor Wright or any comment, Kev?
Yeah, when are we
going to
get together again? We had so much fun last time.
Well, we need to arrange it.
Did we have a big time down in Texas?
We did. We need to arrange it. I'm open.
How is your congregation? Oh, one thing, Kev, you wanted to mention. I think it's worth mentioning. I don't want to say too much. I don't want to put this, but Tom Palladino's been on the show a lot. Look up Tom Palladino. He's been doing a lot of research on this, the spike protein and the protein cells. He's been doing a lot of research. That's all I'm going to say. Check him out. Give him a call.
Yeah, give him a call. He'll talk to anybody. And, you know, if you've had a vaccine, he might be able to do something for you. And that's all we can say about that.
Maybe, maybe not. And maybe he's had success. Maybe not. I'm not making any claims, but maybe, yeah. maybe good information
yeah,
for you
touchy,
to check
that's
out.
That's a touchy subject right there.
So anyway, how is your church taking, your congregation taking all this information? Now, over the past few years, you really laid some heavy stuff on them. Some of your church, I know it was too much for some of them. They didn't want to hear it. Others are really starting to catch. Where would you say they are now? Are people coming back to you and be like, wow, maybe you were right all along? Or what's the dynamic there?
That part hasn't actually, materialized yet, but I know it's going to happen. And the only thing that would keep that from happening in some people's lives is just basic pride.
Well, people have a lot of pride, Pastor.
Yeah, they do. I understand it. But then they also know how we have been as pastors. And one of the things that they always will know is that we don't hold anything over their heads, and we don't shut the door to anybody that has been there. And every one of them will know that they're always welcome to come back. And that's why I said the only thing that would keep them from doing it is their pride, because there's nothing in us that has ever told anybody, you know what, you can never come back here. And you didn't leave right or whatever, and you can never come out. We never said that to anybody, never insinuated it.
MyCLCC.com. MyCLCC.com is his website, and you can check him out. It's a Facebook page. You can hear him preach live. Catherine Austin Fitz one time was on hold, waiting, listening to him, and said, she told me off air, what's his address? I want to listen to him. Catherine Austin Fitz. If that tells you anything, he is a fan of Catherine Austin Fitz. That should tell you something. I want to ask you another question, Pastor. I think it's very important. I'm going to ask Kevin first, because Kevin is really good with Uncle Kevin with some of these kind of things. People are looking out the world. Chance, a caller earlier, you know, it's a little overwhelming. I don't want to say depressing, but, you know, there's a lot going on, and it's a little overwhelming. What gives you hope, or what keeps you upbeat? What keeps you positive? I'll ask you, Uncle Kevin, and then Pastor.
We live in America. We ain't dead yet. You know, we're on the ropes, yeah. But when push comes to shove, I mean, we're not at revolution stage yet, you know? We're getting there. But people are going, oh, look around, everything's bad. Yeah, everything's bad. But when it we're Americans. We got freedom running in our blood. We're totally different from the rest of the world. And when push comes to shove, there's going to be, in my opinion, hundreds of million of people standing up and just said, we've had enough. We ain't taking this crap. You ain't teaching my kid that she's a boy, or the boy is a girl, or can't go to church. That moment's going to happen. I don't know when it's going to happen, but that's what keeps me. Yeah, I don't feel that bad about America. You know, I don't feel that. We got scum in the White House, and we got all sorts of troubles. But overall, I feel pretty good about America.
One story I forgot to bring up before I ask you the same question, Pastor. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a big story out of Japan. Again, Japan's doing some research. Why isn't America doing this research? But anyway. They did research about soy isolates, which is a big thing in soybean oil, even soy protein. Be careful what kind of protein. You want maca protein or other kind. The soy proteins they're using to change boy fish into girl fish because they grow more and it helps them make more money. They were literally using and soybean oil is the most prolific oil used in American food source. I don't know if everybody knew that. So that's why, yep. You know, Dr. Sherry Rogers says you need a oil change. You need phosphatidylcholine and cod liver oil. Extremely important. Extremely important. Please do not overlook that. You look at what's going on with our young boys and men in America and soybean oil and what have you. Another thing to look out for, soybean. You made me think of that when girls and boys and girls, what have you. Anyway, I wanted to bring that up today, but we got sidetracked a little bit. Okay. Getting back onto the original question, Pastor, what do you tell Chancellor of West Virginia? What do you tell, you know, me when I'm up late at night thinking about these things? Can you comfort me? Can you give me hope? What kind of guidance could you give me?
Yeah, I want to combine a few things, if I may. One is the fact that I believe, I know, I have this confidence in the fact that there are absolute truths. And if it's truth and it's absolute and men and women will stand for it, then that will always, and that's the key right there. If men and women will stand for it, it has to prevail. Sunday, we talked a little bit about, you know, what righteousness is among a number of things. But there's this force in the universe. It starts at the throne of God because his throne is established on righteousness. And when he judges the world, he's going to judge it on righteousness. And so there's nothing that can prevail against that if men will stand for it. But that's the key right there. Men have to stand for that absolute truth in order for that to be a force in their lives. Now, from there, and this gives me hope as well, because I believe that there are a people, and it, of course, has got to start in the church, but also on this land, that there are a people that we're going to, and this is what we labor and strive after, is to put out simple things that are absolutes. Not too many of them. It's just like in the church. There are all these different doctrines flying around, but there are not many of them that actually carry the same import as what God says to us about the fact, number one, that we belong to him, and then he told us who we are and why we exist. And if in the church we could rally around those things and let them become the thing that's foremost in our thinking and create unity based on that, then we'll be fine. If we do that in America and we say, okay, what do we need to rally around? we need to rally around, and you talk about this so much, we need to rally around. First of all, we need to take that second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence, and then we need to take the Bill of Rights. Two very simple things. It's not a whole lot. And if we just would focus on those two things as a nation, as a people in America, and then let everything else fall into place instead of jumping around in all these different areas and these different perspectives and opinions, let's just focus on that. And once we do, and we all stand up for those things, those things are going to become a force in our lives and on this land. Now, to me, it's so simple, guys, but the thing about it that is complex is that we've got to get men and women past their pride of wanting to stand up for their own opinion, you know, that will create disunity and disharmony. Men have to come to a place of understanding that the way that Luciferians operate is to deceive, and that's why they scatter all these different things all over the place. They use race relations, use, you know, financial status and all this stuff to keep people divided in their minds. And the very thing that they are afraid of are people rallying and unifying around understanding who they are. And if we ever, ever, ever can focus on that, game changes. The game changes. I'm seeing a change in the lives of people in my own church. They're standing up. And if we can do that and focus on that. And another thing, too, is that, I mean, we have a lot of good information. And the guys, the people that come on your program have such good information. But so many of them are negative because they keep harping on the problem, as opposed to standing up for what the answers are. And if we can rally around these real simple things I just laid out as the answers and get everybody on board, it doesn't matter whether you're Christian or not Christian. We all need to be, because God wants us to come into his family. But even if you're not, there are things that everybody can rally around that are absolute truth, and then take their own responsibility for standing up for those things. And the game will be over.
I've told this story again a lot, quite a bit. Sheriff Mack, we're in that meeting, you know, J. Edward Griffin there, Dr. Group, Sherry Tent. I mean, there's 40 or 50 people. You would know almost all of them that were in this room. Broadcasters, what have you, thinkers, Americans, we're very, very concerned. We're in the room and we're going back and forth trying to, you know, I don't say arguing, but we're going back. What's our enemy? What's our problem? What's our this? What's our that? You know, kind of what Pastor Wright just said. Sheriff Mack stands up. Says, Daniel, I'll tell you who our enemy is. And everybody's, of course, listening to the sheriff. And sheriff knows how to, sheriff just naturally, he's just one of those people. He has a gravitas to him. I mean, you just naturally, you're going to listen to him when he wants to say something. Says, Daniel, I'll tell you who our enemy is. Everybody in that room. All, you know, most of us radio personalities, we talk for a living, right? Quiet. I'll tell you who our enemy is. Our enemy is anybody who violates the Bill of Rights. End of story. And everybody shut up. Everybody shut up. And it was all, and it was all decided. And he sat back down. It was all decided. That was it. Anybody who violates the bill, and that's what Pastor just said, more or less. I mean, he's basically saying what, I mean, I don't want to put words in your mouth, but you're basically saying what Sheriff Mack just said. Look, our enemy,
check it out.
Our enemy is anybody who violates this foundation. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. That's it. Notice, Bill of Rights. What is rights short for?
Righteousness.
There you go.
Yeah.
Wow. So now think about
Bill of Righteousness.
All of those things in there have to do with our unalienable rights. If we stand up for them, there's no force that can stand against them successfully.
Oh, my gosh. I just felt chills you saying that. I just felt chills you saying
that. That's reality.
Wow. If that is the problem.
It comes down to personal responsibility.
If that's our enemy.
That's where it is, because...
Go ahead. Go ahead. We got about 3 minutes.
You know, it comes down to personal responsibility, because what that means is now I am going to have to realize that what God gave me is unalienable rights. I have to make a stand. I have to commit. I have to have conviction.
You have to stand for God. If you stand for God, if you stand for God, then you stand for the Bill of Rights, period. And if you don't stand for the Bill of Rights, you're not standing for God, period. That's the way I think.
I'm telling you, I agree with you. It makes so much sense. And like I said, the Bible and this stuff in the Word of God is congruent. I go back to some of the things I learned early on that helped make a difference for me. When I looked at what God did in establishing the law of Moses, and I'm not talking about the sacrifices and all that. I'm talking about the principles of righteousness and how when God, he laid out what men were supposed to live by, and the Moses and the judges were there to make sure that the rights that God gave to the people in that law, that they were never violated. That, to me, is the biggest part of what that whole thing is about, other than, I mean, you take all of what God said there, you took just the Ten Commandments, it's divided down and right in, basically in half. It's number one, our responsibility to the Creator, and then our responsibility to one another. We don't violate those things. And if we do that, we'll be fine. And if we stand up against that, well, put it this way, if we violate them, then that's where governments are supposed to come in and say, okay, now, no, that doesn't agree with that. You're violating somebody else's rights, or you're violating God. That's not what we're to do. That's the only thing that they're for.
We have about a minute and a half left. Kev, any thoughts? You have about 15, 20 seconds. Anything you want to add to this?
Just not everybody, don't to get too worried. Be diligent. Stand up, like Pastor Wright said. That's the most important thing. We got to stand up for our rights, and it's coming pretty soon where everybody's going to have to stand up together, or we're going to lose this country. It's that simple.
There's the music. Pastor Wright, myclcc.com is his website. Last thought is yours, Pastor.
I would basically reiterate, we need to rally around the things that we can unify on, the simple, basic things. In the church, we rally around who we are, whose we are, who we are, and why we exist. And on our land, we've got to rally around the absolute truths, that second paragraph of the Declaration of Independence and the Bill of Rights. Simple stuff.
Wow, big time. Big,
we do
big,
it,
big
we
time.
Win.
We win.
We win.
I love the sentence
it.
You
it's
said.
That simple.
You,
we do it. We win.
You said, Pastor, you said it has to prevail. There is no other ifs, ands, or buts. It will. It has to prevail. If we stand for it, it will prevail, period,
yep.
In the story.
It will prevail.
God bless you. Happy, healthy, successful, and free as God intends you to be, ladies and gentlemen. See you soon.
We've all heard about antibiotics, but what about probiotics? Antibiotic means against life. Probiotic means pro-life. Antibiotics kill bacteria that are infectious and harmful to the body. They also kill the good bacteria, though, that are necessary for good health. Probiotics from Living Streams replaces the healthy balance of friendly bacteria and normalizes the digestive tract. Gastritis, ulcers, diarrheal disease is just a few of the problems people develop when the intestinal flora is out of balance. Living Streams probiotics create the healthy balance needed for good digestion, suppresses growth of pathogenic bacteria, and actually increases resistance to infection. Call the Power Hour, 877-817-9829. Order your Living Stream probiotics today. They're available in 2, 4, and 8-ounce bottles, and Living Streams probiotics comes with a money-back guarantee. Get your body back in balance with Living Streams probiotics today. 877-817-9829. That's 877-817-9829. Living Streams probiotics. Everyone should be pro-life.